Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's do this.
All right, we're gonna do this. Let's do the intro. Here it is. All right, we'll get unmonetized on YouTube. Here we go. You think I should have made that intro a lot longer? I didn't realize so long.
Well, this might be one of the last times we do this, but that's okay because we have an amazing special
time.
Well, we've already wrapped up all the albums until the next go round of albums.
There's more coming.
I hope so. I hope so because we have a very special guest today, Miss Becky Baldwin of Merciful Fate in the house. Woo!
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yes, welcome, Becky, to the, what is this show called? This broadcast belongs to them. Sorry, I haven't said it. It's been a long period of time since we did the last episode from the one before last week. So many things going on with like everybody's families and all this stuff. We just could not finish this series of shows. But we are back now with Becky Baldwin, the new bass player for Merciful Fate, and congratulations, by the way, on becoming the new bass player of Merciful Fate. How does that feel?
Thank you. Yeah, it's still not quite sunk in, I gotta be honest. You know, it's been a while since like I first played with Merciful Fate back in 2022, and even that was hard to still compute that happened. And now to be part of, knowing that I'm going to be part of the next releases and all future shows, I'm part of like the band's history, is pretty mind-blowing to me. Like I've been a fan since I was a teenager and never envisioned that this would ever happen to me. So like, yeah, it's incredible, but still mind-blowing.
how big of a fan were you? Like what was the first album or song that you started with either King Diamond or Merciful Fate?
I bought the Melissa album when I was about 14. I was super obsessed with Metallica through all of my teenage years, and it was through Metallica that I discovered the Merciful Fate like cover that they did, the medley. Of all the covers that they did, like this one was the most interesting to me, and So yeah, I wanted to go back from there and check out what Merciful Fate were about. That was the only album that I was really that familiar with at that time. I guess later on across the years, like I listened to more songs from Don't Break the Oath, and you know, a couple of other ones. But the thing is, that was when I was kind of in my teens. File sharing became very common, and a lot of like, you know, sharing CDs and stuff and this sort of thing. So a lot of the times it wasn't full albums. I'd be like illegally downloading.
Everyone's guilty of that at one point or another. Don't worry about it.
Not me. I've never done it.
Yeah, I'm sure. It says the man with the record store behind him. Anyways.
Yeah. So it would be like random songs that would probably be like misnamed and stuff like this. But you'd be like, oh, this sounds kind of cool. You just listen to it. And later on, you figure out, oh, that was Merciful Fate as well. Or, oh, that was Merciful Fate, but I thought it was King Diamond or vice versa. And yeah, from then, just like a few Merciful Fate songs and King Diamond songs here and there. But you know, I never got to see them live because you know, when they released their last album in 1999, I was 8 years old. So I never got to see Merciful Fate live until when they came back and played again in like 2022.
Wow, really cool. Actually, the first time I saw them was when you started playing bass for them and you played the show in Brooklyn. Have you ever been to Brooklyn before you did that show?
No, I've never toured in America before then. I've only been to LA just on other trips, but yeah, that was my first time going to many places in America.
Would you ever go back to Brooklyn after seeing Brooklyn the first time?
Brooklyn's a pretty scary place.
I thought it was cool. I really liked it. I got some really good food around there. And yeah, it was cool. It was a great venue. Oh my God, the venue was so cool. The King's Theater.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I didn't know anything about it. And then I remember someone, I think Mike had mentioned, like, oh, this is actually quite a famous theater. It's in movies. And then literally a few months later, I was watching... can't remember what film it was, but I was like, I've been there. I've bloody been there. Like, I've never had that kind of situation where I'm watching a film that's set somewhere in America and I'm like, I recognize the inside of this place. Like, what the hell? But yeah, that was cool. I really liked Brooklyn. That was great.
I think that was actually the last New York show King played with Mike as King Diamond right before the pandemic. So that was cool that he got to bring Merciful Fate there this time to a packed, sold out house. So
yes, yeah.
That was an awesome show. I'm a huge Creator fan too, so seeing Creator for the first time live was awesome. And then I also got to become a big fan of the band Midnight as well. I thought they were awesome too. Are you a fan of those bands as well?
Yes, especially Creator. They I discovered Midnight just from when I saw that they were doing the tour, and I was like, I'll listen to them. And the music's really cool. But Creator, I've been a fan of for quite a while. And being able to have the opportunity to see them like 14 nights in a row was like, I'm there every night. Yeah. Like, I prayed. that was really awesome. Cool.
What we got in the chat here, Mean Metal Mike, AC/DC just hit 50 years. Thoughts? We're not talking about AC/DC, Mean Metal
Mike. Oh my God.
And also Wayne enjoyed the streams with whatever. What was your first gig with Merciful Fate like? All right, Mean Metal Mike wants to know, what was your first gig with Merciful Fate like?
Very nerve-wracking, obviously. Before the show, I'd never played on a stage. I mean, you know, I played like festivals that were kind of like bigger stages, but never with so much of like production going on, like the stairs. And I'd never played a big stage like that where it was like a new show and new musicians to play with. You don't know how you're going to be moving around the stage with each other. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to bump into anyone. I'm going to get real pissed off. right. So you kind of, I don't know. There's so many more things to think about. And it was the first time I used in-ear monitors for my sound. And first time doing a gig without an amp, because they don't have amps on stage or anything. It was very different.
Would you just plug into like a DI box or into the PA or something?
Yeah, so I had like my kind of overdrive like effects are were in my dark class pedal, and then that went straight into front of house and my in-ear monitors. So
those are very convenient.
it is a lot easier to tour with, you know, and I don't have to supply any. I can just, you know, take that pedal in my suitcase and it's like super easy. And it's a lot more controlled on stage. So to not have those amps that are making a lot of noise in certain areas of the stage and not in other areas, it's easier to kind of control the volumes and things. But yeah, so there was a lot of new stuff going on. And of course, yeah, just thinking, am I going to know the songs well enough? Because we only had, in the end, like one day that we were able to rehearse. And King couldn't make it to that rehearsal. So, like, this is the first time playing these songs with the full band there, like, and, you know, not really knowing how it's all going to sound. But yeah, about like three songs in, I was suddenly like, hell yeah, I'm doing this. And the crowd were just so great. It just kind of carried everyone through. Like, the mood was so just electrifying. And yeah, by the end of it, I was just having the best time.
When did you know that you were going to be the bass player for Merciful Fate? I mean, how did that all come about?
So it was around Christmas time where I knew that, like, it was something that was going to actually happen. And then my announcement was it like mid-January? So yeah, I'd heard that they were like thinking about what they were going to do regarding bass players in like November. Because by that point they knew that they were doing Brazil or doing South America again, and Joey couldn't make that tour as well. So that was kind of like three kind of trips in a row that he wasn't available for. And it's kind of like they were thinking, if we're going to start a new album cycle, do we want to stick with someone who isn't able to do so many shows? Right. And they were thinking about options of what to do. And I think, yeah, most people were just like, well, you found another bass player who's pretty keen to do all of your shows. So like, that would make sense. And they were like, yeah, I mean, nobody's so far has said that it's not a good idea. So they just said, like, if we were in theory to offer it to you, would you say yes? And I was like, oh god, hell yeah. And then I had a month of nothingness, like thinking, like, okay, they know that I want it, but I don't know yet if they're officially going to ask me. But then yeah, they did, like a month later, and then it was a big relief. And it was great to finally announce it, and it was great seeing how many people of the audience, of the fans that wanted it when Joey was announced to be leaving, that they were like, get Becky in. That was really nice to see that they'd already kind of accepted me as like the right decision for the new member.
That's great that you were told around Christmas. No Christmas, no presents for Christmas, my eye. That's the best Christmas gift one could get. King, you liar.
Where did they find you though? Like, where did you just pop up out of for them to recognize you?
So Hank said that he'd seen my videos of me like doing metal covers, like old classic metal covers on YouTube and Instagram and stuff. So so it wasn't from the kind of, you know, scene of like bands like meeting each other at gigs and stuff. It was it was the internet, basically. And so I don't know, it's definitely different to how a lot of people get their gigs, but I think it's, to me, it's great, obviously, because I don't really know people of that kind of, I'm not in those scenes yet. Like, I've been trying to get there for many years, and it's just not happened until this point, you know, that where like someone like Hank and King can just like kind of pluck me out of obscurity and be like, that's a really cool bass video you did of one of our songs, and like, we think you could come and play with us and it would be really cool. So yeah, it's completely unexpected, because I never met any of the band before or even knew they were looking for someone to play for them. So yeah, it was like unexpected, but it came through just constant, I don't know, I've always been trying to, I guess, put myself out there as much as possible and show what I can do. And if I'm not on tour with one of my bands, then I'll be just trying to share my passion in other ways and show people like the bass lines that I like playing and what I've been working on, what I'm interested by. And it's always kind of worked in terms of you know, growing a fan base. Like I kind of have my own fans that just people who like watching people play bass lines, and so they follow me through that. But also it shows you never know who's actually watching. Like there could be someone who has a plan for you, or you know, something that could really change your life. And and you know, that would never have happened if I hadn't have been sharing these videos of just bass covers just for fun. Really,
that's how I discovered you. I'm on Instagram, and all of a sudden, like, you show up in my algorithms, and I'm seeing this long dark haired young lady playing the hell out of this Rickenbacker bass, and I'm like, oh, I like that. Let's see what else she's got. And then I looked through all your other videos and I said, okay, instant follow. And I said, she's really good. I hope she makes it, like, you know, to be successful one day. A couple of months later, you get the gig at Merciful Fate. I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. That was a very quick wish come true. Good for her.
It didn't feel quick for me. I mean, no, it didn't. You know, like, it felt like great. But like, yeah, I've been sharing these videos for many, many years. And I don't know. Yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, you're just a bedroom guitarist, you know. But I'm like, I'm not. I do tour as well. But yeah, that's how people know me a lot of the time is
right.
Playing my bass in my bedroom.
But I mean, of course, you put in the years of hard work and dedication to your craft. And, you know, it's like in that last year, I had only discovered you those 3 months, like right before you joined the American tour. So, you know, I'm sorry.
It's kind of spooky then, really.
Well, maybe there were dark forces involved, but who cares? It's all good. I thought it was cool that you just wound up in my algorithms, because, you know, I guess because it saw that I was putting up guitar videos, because Wayne and I do music together. So sometimes I post stuff up and it says, oh, if that's what you do, you'll like this. And I'm like, I do like this. And she's very good. So that's cool. But I'd like to ask, I never see that many people rock Rickenbacker basses before. So as a gearhead, and this is where Wayne calls me a nerd, and that's okay. I'd like to ask you what drew you to Rickenbacker basses.
It's, I guess, like the style of music that I like the most. I'm really into the kind of music of the 80s and the 70s. So, I mean, during this time, there were so many high profile bass players playing Rickenbackers. Like, if you watch, I mean, over here, we watch things like Top of the Pops. I don't know if that's the thing over there, and Old Grey Whistle Test and stuff like that.
I'm familiar with that. I watch my old Thin Lizzy footage that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and you'll see like bands across so many different genres are playing, bass players are often playing Rickenbackers. So I don't know. I just feel like they look so iconic and they're, I don't know, they're just dead cool. And also some of my favorite bass players played them. So Cliff Burton was a big influence of mine, and you know, his Rickenbacker looked excellent. And Lemmy, of course, you know, he doesn't, I guess his influence is less of the playing style. He uses a plectrum and uses a lot of chords, and I don't really do that. But the bass has always been like, that is the bass I want to play. Like, that is the one for me. One day I will get a bass like that. And then, yeah, I saved up and I got this one, this black one, 4003.
Yeah.
And then, I can't remember, like 5 years later, I got the 4001. So that one was made in 1977. So like it's still hanging on.
That's incredible. Man, keep those forever. All right, Wayne, go ahead. Sorry.
Where is Bobby Lucas? Lucas here. Is here. I'm attacker. All right, why are you not on screen? What are you naked again? What's going on over there? What?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. We can hear you. Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you don't want to see me anyway, so.
No, not usually, but.
Who wants to see me? I look like a truck driver right now.
Becky, this is our friend Bobby Lucas, aka Leather Lungs. Oh, there he is.
Hi, Bobby.
Game to join. What's going on?
I'm waving, but you can't see it. Look.
No, we can't see you now.
We can see now.
This is professional.
Bobby's new to the internet. Come on.
I'm on.
I said you're new to the internet. You don't know how all this stuff works. All right, we're here with Becky. You got something from Becky? I don't want to take all the time.
The podcast thing, no, but the radio, yeah. But
yeah, you're good with the radio stuff.
I just did my own interview for 2 hours with Dave Softy.
All right, good.
Because actually, you have a single drop today, Wayne.
Oh, that's right. The
lyric video is up.
It's a very good song. A very good song.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
You actually got an interview come up with Becky soon yourself, don't you?
Well, yeah, Benjamin gets it. Benjamin gets it, you know, together. Yeah. Yeah. He said next week, I think he said.
Oh, okay. All right. Very cool. Well, before you get to her interview. No? Well, now you know.
Thanks. Yeah.
But yeah, you got anything for...
He's hosing me. He's not going to do it.
Yeah, probably not. Who knows? Who knows with Ben? But what do you got for Becky? What do you got? Is anything to ask about Becky?
Me?
Yeah, you. Or are you just going to sit down?
Yeah, we're live on the on YouTube, dude.
Well, Becky,
I'll reject your interview if you don't ask a good question.
Listen,
his connection is very bad.
Like a boss.
I have plenty to say. Plenty to say. Merciful fate. Shit. I was listening to that from the EP on. I was a big fan, man. I am a big fan. What am I saying? I mean, when my friend Robbie Neiman turned me on to that, he was, you know, older than me in school, in high school. He said, listen to this, bro. First, he showed me the album cover with the titties because everybody's freaking out over the nun with the titties out. I'm like, what the hell? Because, you know, I had heard Venom and shit before. You know, that was the most satanic that I got at that time was Venom. You know, and then when I heard King, the first song was Corpse Without Soul. I almost shit my pants. You know, I'm like, what is this? You know, what's going on? And I loved it. I loved it ever since, man. Seriously. So a lot of respect to you that you have the gig and very happy for you. You must be a dynamite bassist.
She is. She's already done a tour with them.
No.
She's already done a tour with them.
We're going on tour with them?
No. She's gone on tour with them. Hey, Becky, back to the interview.
Becky, ignore me. Ignore me. I'm just a fly on the wall over here.
Okay.
Okay, yeah,
he's a fly on the wall in Jersey.
Boy, have you ever been to New Jersey, Becky? And if you haven't, don't go because he lives there. So just
Becky, you let me know. I'll bring you to the best places in Jersey. Don't you worry. I bet you the best tomato pie you ever had in your life. For real.
That does not sound appetizing.
Cortino's, bro. Tomato crust pizza. That's pizza.
Okay.
What's the matter for you?
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ, Bobby. Thank you.
I'm the comic relief here. Hey, listen, I gotta feed my cats for real. My cats are gonna kill me.
Go feed your cats. I'll talk to you later.
I'll be right there. I'll be right back.
All right, take your time.
Yes, please do.
Thanks a lot, pal. I'll do vocals for you real quick.
Oh yeah, oh boy. We better turn his screen off.
See you, Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby, yeah, unfortunately. sorry about that.
Sorry about that, Becky. Back to the interview. Wayne, go ahead.
Yeah. No, Becky's watched this show before. She knows what goes on these shows. it is what it is. Just go with the flow.
Yeah.
So, all right, now you're in Merciful Fate, but you have all these other bands, and we were talking earlier. You started with that that folky band. I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head right now, but you started with that, and we talked a little bit about that. But maybe tell people that don't know anything about that, how did that all happen?
So I kind of moved to Bristol when I was 18, and before then, you know, I played like in little bands with my friends, and we had big dreams, but like we lived in a very small town and I don't think it was going to go anywhere. So I moved to Bristol and I started studying music there, and I met a lot of people And I tried to just diversify the kind of music that I was playing as much as possible. I wanted as much recording experience as possible because I'd never really, had the opportunity to do any professional recordings and also shows as well. And that was kind of my main aim for like the first 5 years of being in Bristol. So I ended up with playing with so many different bands, like folk bands, funk, jazz, blues, everything, as well as metal bands. So I always had like a metal band or two or a punk band as well. But I just tried to fill my time as much as possible with music of any different genre. Anyone who needed me, basically, I'd be there. And that's kind of worked out over time because it's meant that I pick up new music quite quickly, or I have a system of learning it quite quickly and like to like blagging it pretty well, at least.
By ear, or do you like actually study and sit and read it? So is it more like the Suzuki method?
It depends, whatever I'm provided. So if it's just the recordings, then I'll just learn it by ear. Or if they have any music written, then that's a bit of a shortcut because I can read music, so I could read tab or bass clef or whatever. So I use whatever's available to me at the time. For the Merciful Fate gig, they sent me the set list first, and I just kind of listened to just try to pick out the bass line from those recordings. And then I also watched some live footage of them. And then actually Joey Vera, being an absolute legend, sent me the full set because they'd been taking like live recordings from the desk on the European tour that they did at some of the festivals. And he sent me like all of the bass kind of like super loud in the mix so that I could hear him really clearly. And I'm like, well, if that's what the band are used to hearing the bass player do, then that's what I'll aim to like reproduce for this tour, because I'm just filling in for him, so I'll make it as close as possible. So mostly by ear, learning the songs, but also with Joey's help by like isolating the bass for me, which was great of him. Through my career, living in Bristol, just playing with loads of different bands, a metal band called Triaxis I was with for a while. And then punk band, then a grunge band called Hands Off Gretel, and then I moved to Birmingham because I wanted to be closer to my band called Fury, and that band I'm still with now. So we're working on a new album.
Great band.
Right now. Oh, cool. Thanks. Great. if you're interested in hearing anything by Fury, if you search, our latest album is called Born to Sin. And you'll find it that way. There's so many bands called Fury, so don't get us confused with a different.
There is.
So, I didn't. You're good.
Yeah. It's the one that's got the metal the metal band logo. It's the pointy logo. The traditional metal band.
It's very Metallica. The logo. It's very maybe influenced by Metallica.
That's really cool that you played so many like different genres. I think for any musician to be worth their weight in salt, it would be good to not just play and practice one genre, but everyone has their preference. But the fact that you play funk and punk and metal is really cool. What would you say is the most fun for you to play live? I can imagine playing funk must be fun.
Yeah. I mean, metal's always up there. Like that's my favorite.
That goes without saying.
I like funk because I don't know, everything's. I find it quite similar to metal in some ways. Like speed is very important, energy is important. The way they kind of have repeating riffs, and I don't know. I feel like the styles and like what they aim to achieve from the especially the kind of funk music that I like. There's some similarities there, and also I mean punk. I mean that I mean to me like metal and punk are kind of the same thing. In a lot of ways. So those would be my favorite genres. So outside of metal, it would be funk.
Very cool. Definitely helps to build up the calluses too on the hands. So.
Oh yeah.
I was noticing you had a band, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. I'm terrible at pronouncing names. Doja or Doja or something like that.
Oh,
it was
Doja,
a band.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And how did that become? Because I was reading that it was a crowdfunded band, and a band never met before. They did the songs together.
Yes. So, well, I'd met, so some of us had met before, but we'd never all met together until the recording day, like in person, we'd never met before. So I met the drummer, and the drummer kind of put the band together, but she's from Belgium. She moved to the UK, where I met her on a gig that I was covering for. And then she moved to LA and then set up this band and met the singer in LA. So the some of us that were based in Europe had never met the singer before we, but we worked remotely on songs, sending like demos back and forth, and then did our recording in LA in like 2016, something like that. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's kind of like what me and Lou do. Because I mean, even though we're so close together, it's just getting into the studio and try to work on songs. It don't work for us. We just do everything from home. So,
and we don't like being in the same room with each other. So
and I can't stand. I can't even stand looking at his face on the show. It's just terrible.
I can't either. In here. But yeah. Let me ask you though.
Neither
I mean,
can I? Why do you think I was late?
Hello, Becky. That is Greg, our other co-host.
But I really like that album, Gemini. That was all I wanted to say.
Oh, thank you. Cool. I didn't know you guys would be aware of my other band. So thanks.
We do our homework here, Becky.
Come absolutely. I'd like to ask a question about your recording process. So obviously you mentioned that, you know, the work was done remotely, where it was the work was being shipped to LA. I mean, do you still prefer working in the studio, or are you comfortable working from like a DAW from home and using Cubase or whatever audio technology you use? Like, what's your preference?
Personally, I do prefer recording at home. Like, most of the stuff that I do at the moment is from here. I feel like I've got more time to really think about the bass line, pull it apart, and you know, there's not someone like breathing down my neck watching me mess up the same take like 10 times before I get it right. And like, when like you're all paying for the studio time, it's so like important to like get it right that you have to sometimes just go for the safest option, the kind of easiest option, just to be like, right, we need to do this. Once I'm done, then we have to move on to vocals, or next we move on to this. So you don't want to be the person that takes up so much time because you're like, hey, why don't I try this? And, oh, let's get distracted and you want to like try some other idea. I can try as many ideas as I like. I could record several ideas and send them all to, you know, whoever's listening on the other end and be like, well, which one do you prefer? And that's what I usually do with quite a few songs is do, you know, the verse, but like a few different versions first, and then be like, which one do you prefer? And they're like, oh, I like them all. So how about verse one, verse two, verse three? I'm like, okay, so every verse is different. Cool. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I kind of prefer it this way. I you know, I do miss the vibe of all being together and all being able to have input, and just the kind of magic that you can capture when a band is all together in the same moment, like doing the thing, as so many legendary albums have done. But I don't know, like, it's like so much harder to do now. It's like so expensive to do, and it's just not practical for a lot of bands. So, I mean, I guess before, like in the 70s, like, you know, bands and you know, all the 90s and 2000s, even bands could book into a studio and like hang out recording there for months. Like, you know, you see the Some Kind of Monster Metallica documentary, and they're just they got infinite time and they can just do that in the studio for as long as they like. But it's not practical for most bands. So if they want to get the best version of the album, their best performance, a lot of them would rather do it in their own time.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Ah. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Yeah. Greg, because you haven't been here, so I'll let you talk at least once.
That's okay.
Ask away. Ask your question, sir.
I don't have any.
Okay, we'll be right along.
Sorry.
Thanks for joining us, Greg. No, what about you, Bobby?
You know what? I'd like to tell her a really quick story. You have to mention this to King, if you know, when you see him again. Ask him if he remembers the two young pups that called him up and were singing Melissa over the phone to him, because when Melissa came out, on the back of Melissa was a phone number, okay? And King was doing his own managing at the time. And we called the number because my friend Lance is crazy. I said, bro, you're going to be calling Denmark. What's wrong with you? Are you sure? He's like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You know, and we called and we actually talked to King Diamond. So that was really cool. We were singing Melissa terribly, but we sang it. And I'll never forget that. That's a really cool memory, because Merciful Fate was like a soundtrack of part of the soundtrack of my teen years, you know, and King is a big influence on me too. So yeah, it was really cool, but it's awesome that you're a part of like one of the best bands out there. So, because really Merciful Fate, man. Yeah. Kick ass. But anyway, that's cool. I just wanted to tell you that because
yeah,
it's a pretty funny story.
I'm sure the restraining order still stands. I don't know whether he
can remember. Sounds like that was a long time ago.
God, it was a long time ago. It was Melissa when Melissa came out. When it first came out.
Yeah. 83, right? I think. Yeah.
You might not remember that.
I don't know. That's pretty far, Bobby.
Interesting phone calls at that time if he was managing the band. I know.
Just tell him. Tell him.
A lot has happened since then.
But,
Timmy Hansen or Timmy Grab, whatever name you wanted to use, was he a big influence on you for playing bass? Because he is an awesome bass player, and unfortunately he passed away a couple of years ago, and you know, everybody wanted to see him back in the band again, but he just couldn't do it. And so did he have any kind of like influence on you?
I think like I guess I wasn't very aware of Merciful Fate bass lines. I always thought they were kind of cool, but to be honest, I never really learned them back like when I was a teenager and stuff. I never really pursued checking them out. It wasn't until much later that I started, like, I was like, oh, actually maybe I should learn a couple of Merciful Fate tunes. Like, this was before like the whole gig thing was even not anywhere near being on the cards, but then I kind of like started learning some of the songs later on and realize like, damn, this is like a really great bass player. And I think those first two albums especially, like the bass is so prominent on them. Like, I don't know why I didn't really think about it. Maybe it's just like when you think of Merciful Fate, like you think of King Diamond, like so much of your eye and attention is drawn to him, and there's so much going on musically that there is a lot going on in the bass as well, but maybe it doesn't stand out until you really like take time to really notice it. So since then, you know, obviously since like the gig was offered, I've been going further back than, you know, I said I listened to like Joey's live takes. I've been listening in more detail to the original recordings now and trying to nail all of his fills and get them as every song as accurate as possible of the live set. Because I want to make the next like recordings as like Timmy-esque as possible, I guess. Like, and I think that's what Merciful Fate want. Like, they, when they approached me about these Depp gigs, they said like, oh, you play fingerstyle and like a lot of what you play and the way you kind of approach the songs that we've seen you do online reminds us a lot of Timmy, like just the kind of attack and that kind of thing. So so yeah, like I know that that's kind of what they want from me. So if I study his bass lines more carefully now, then I'll know what sort of thing to put in the recordings when it comes to final album recording time.
Who's your favorite bassist?
You answered my question.
I'm sorry.
Actually, and by the way, Becky, sorry, I had a doctor's appointment right before this, and I wasn't sure if I was going to make it or not, so I didn't write anything down. But anyway, so I know the Gemini album we were talking about, but also I've listened to you in Fury, Love, Born to Sin. Get a big Lemmy influence from you.
Yes, yeah. Some of the songs on that album in particular are very Motorhead inspired, and yeah, I guess I somewhat chase that, even though my playing style is not like that, you know, not plectrum, not chord based, but that kind of like almost guitar distortion style thing is kind of coming out in in that album. And some of the bass solos I was thinking Stay Clean in my head while I was trying to figure out like a bass solo for It's Rock and Roll. So that was kind of my influence in that. So I'm glad you can hear it.
Yes, yes.
Anyone could probably hear it.
I hope they let you bring some of that into Merciful Fate. I like that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah. No, that would be great. I think they'd be cool with that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, you answered my question because we had Snowy Shaw on here. God, it was probably like 2 or 3 years ago now, right, Greg?
Three years ago. We've been doing this a while. Like
yeah. And he's like one of my top favorite drummers. He's a huge influence on me, drumming wise. And when I listened to him play like the old Merciful Fate songs live, they were almost completely different from what Kim Ruz used to do and stuff like that. So I was always curious if you're going to kind of put your own way you play bass on the songs, or are you going to try and capture what Timmy did? But you kind of answered that. But will you throw some of your own type of your own playing on the songs as well?
I mean, I think ultimately all of it's going to be my own type of playing anyway, because you know, he is an influence, and I think Timmy's quite similar in his style to Cliff Burton. I see them as quite similar, and I think I play quite similar to both of them. So it might be hard to be like, well, which sounds more Timmy and which sounds more like Becky's fills? Because I don't know, everything's just kind of an amalgamation of everything that I've listened to. So, I mean, yeah, like everything's going to be original, not kind of like borrow the same fills that are lifted from what was there before. But I guess it's just going to be kind of appropriate to what's right for the song and what works and that kind of thing. But I don't know, I guess if I was replacing someone who isn't such a kind of beloved bass player who passed away too soon, if you know what I mean, if it was someone who, you know, had a stint and left, you know, differences, blah, 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 it would feel different. It would be like, you know, it's time for you to just put your own style on it. But like, I feel like as someone, you know, new and kind of younger, like not listened to the band as long, and replacing someone who should still be there, like if only they were, I feel like having more of a tribute to Timmy feels right in some weird way. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it totally makes sense.
totally makes sense. So that's cool. And I was reading your Facebook not too long ago, and you mentioned something about people watching your videos and giving you some kind of criticism, stuff like that. And being a musician and seeing people, you know, criticize, you know, certain things that you play or whatever, and half the time they're not musicians themselves, so they don't even know what they're talking about. But like, how do you like deal with that stuff? Because, you know, we see stuff about our own band as well, and it gets annoying after a while, but after a while you kind of just like, whatever, because it's what we wanted to do or what you wanted to do, whatever. So how do you like kind of take that criticism?
I take it pretty badly.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, you know, I, that's the thing that is unfortunate about, I don't know, I guess social media or anything that you do when you know you feel very passionate about it and you love it and you want to just do it all the time. The positive comments, you could read so many of them. You could read 100 of them and you'd be like, oh, that's nice, cool, nice, good. But then when you read one negative one, it's like, psh, all those negative
that's
ones.
That's the one I that sticks out.
Think, yeah, I can't think of them anymore. Like, I can only think about this positive, this negative one. And yeah, I don't know what it is about. I guess it's just kind of what people are like and how our minds are wired to always try and look for ways to improve and ways to be better. So I guess, you know, I should feel grateful for that, but I don't know, I kind of hate it that that it just always sticks in your mind and you just start thinking like, oh, is that right? Like, should I be doing something different? You know, I think like the criticism that was kind of recently was people just being like, oh, like everyone says she's so good, she's not that good, she's just playing one note most of the time. And it's like, the song has one note most of the time, I'm sorry. Like, right. That's exactly how it was meant to be played. So that's how I played it, and like, what do you want? Right, right. And then I start thinking, well, maybe I should only post videos if you're just like super shredding.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know, like you kind of, that's not what everyone wants to see. And I'm kind of going, the kind of videos that I've been posting on YouTube lately, I'm going through every song that I did on the live set with Merciful Fate in 2022. So I want to do all of them. I'm not going to just not do that one because all the bass line is kind of boring at the start and people on the internet won't like it and they'll think that I'm a crap bass player because I'm not showing off every bloody second of every song.
right.
So yeah, you can see how wound up I get. But like, I always feel like, okay, you can't say anything though because it's not cool, but and you know,
right. I'll say it for you,
yeah. But you know, I think most people can see their comment and they're just like, what's this guy saying, like this is dumb. Yeah, like I do have a kind of internal battle of like, what should I say something or should I do anything, how do I react to this? And I know that I should just like ignore them, but yeah, they
ignore them.
I should ignore them. Listen, a lot more than I do. Yeah.
On the internet,
I'm in Merciful Fate now. I'm sorry. I said, just tell them I'm in Merciful Fate. You're not. Tough shit.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's so, I don't know why I listen to these people. And yeah. See how far your attitude gets you. Like, seriously.
I mean, the internet, yeah. Unfortunately, it's built a firewall so that, you know, you can't slap people in the face for saying something stupid. But all it does, it's magnified the arseholes. That's what it's done.
Yeah.
So just ignore it. Keep doing what you're doing.
That's it.
I will. Yeah. I mean, nothing's ever going to stop what I'm doing, but
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will also keep complaining about the assholes because that's also something I can't stop doing.
Just throw it back at them.
Yeah.
Don't, if you're going to be an asshole, don't watch this show. Okay. Becky's awesome. And she deserves her spot in Merciful Fate. And if you don't like that, tough shit. All right.
And if you are an asshole, you can watch our show and we'll make fun of you for it.
Just make sure you hit subscribe though. All right.
Yes. Otherwise, just subscribe. So yes. Thank you.
I know it's late by you, Becky, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time. And I do want to talk about the band Fury. Greg has mentioned it a few times, even Lou as well. And you do have that. The last album was called Refresh My Memory, Born to Sin. And that was a little bit different from the previous albums. And I know you weren't an original member of the band, but how does that one differ from the other ones? Because I know you got like two singers in the band.
So yeah, so now we have two like co-singers, like so two people kind of sharing the lead vocals. And yeah, Born to Sin, we kind of had started bringing that in more. So Naya was there still as a backing vocalist technically, but she was having a more prominent role. And the album before that, she recorded on, I think, 2 out of 10. So I think, yeah, in the grand prize album, the one before that there was, she recorded on 2 as backing vocals. And then the next one, she was on like 9 of them as backing vocals, or maybe 8 of them. And then the next one, there's going to be, it's more shared lead vocals. And yeah, so I joined the band when just before we did the grand prize album. That was 2020. We released that one during like the lockdown and stuff. And that was a big change in the band. So the only member who was still there from like the previous albums was the singer and guitarist Julian. But yeah, from then on, I've been involved. And I think the music has become slightly, I think it's just a little bit more commercial, but in a, like, it's less long songs, less like power metal. And I think it's just a bit more snappy now. Like, and like Born to Sin has some like songs that are much heavier than the older stuff, such as like the title track and stuff. But yeah, so I think, but we're kind of diversifying, I guess, more in what we're doing now.
Yeah, definitely. I can really, I'm sorry, I missed some of that. My child comes in the room here taking pictures of me. But I caught some of that. Yeah, I definitely hear like all the, you know, that you're moving into a kind of a different direction on that album. And you said that, I think you said that you're working on another album right now with the band?
Yes. Yeah. So the songs are pretty much all written now. We start recording next week. So the drums will start then. Wow. And somewhere around the South America trip that I have with Merciful Fate, either before or after that, I'll record my bass. And hopefully we'll have an album out this year. And if not, we'll have a few singles for, out from Fury this year, definitely.
Very, very cool. And now you got a couple other bands too. Hands Off Gretel, you're still doing that band? That's still around?
So they're on hiatus at the moment. We were, yeah, we were still going. We did our last tour in like 2021. We started working on the next album. But our singer has another project and that's really taken off. So it's kind of on the back burner for now. It may happen again. But that's, yeah, more of a grunge band. So at the moment it's just Fury and Merciful Fate. So Fury are very, we're completely DIY, completely independent. All the merch is here and I just post out from my house and stuff like
this.
Oh,
really? Wow.
Yeah. So it's all, I don't know, yeah, very grassroots still. And we play around the UK quite a lot. We go into Europe a bit, but we've never been over to the United States or anything. But we're hoping maybe with the next album release, like this album cycle could be a big step up. Obviously, it helps that I know more people now, like, and more people know me now because of the Merciful Fate thing. So yeah, hopefully that might finally push the right buttons for us to like get out there more and like, you know, get over to the United States and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Do you think King would ever say, let's have Fury open up for Merciful Fate? Would you do it?
I don't know. I think he might do. Like, I think, but the thing is, like, I think bands themselves are often not really at that level, not really responsible for booking their support band. Unfortunately, it's all you know, it'll be like association with like the label and the management, and you know, a big band like that would have a band that's like kind of poised to step up. So you know, unless if you know, things went really well for Fury, then I don't think that would happen unless if, you know, the whole management and everything was behind it. But yeah, I feel like he'd be up for it in theory, definitely.
Has he heard Fury? Does he like them?
Yes. Yeah. I remember when we were flying from Mexico City to Monterrey, I was sat next to him and we had this like whole like 5-hour conversation about just everything. Because most of the time, like when I was on the tour with them, King kind of kept to himself most of the time because, you know, he's kind of saving his voice. The thing is, once he starts talking, like, he really likes to talk. So he was trying to save his voice and staying separate from the rest of us. But on that flight, we were sat together and he had so much cool stuff to say. And he was like, oh, yeah, I watched this music video of you guys doing this. And he'd like done a lot of research and he was, yeah, asking me about it. So, yeah, he definitely knows about the band. But yeah, like, hopefully we can do some more and I can fill my gaps in the schedule where King is doing King Diamond stuff. I'll do Fury stuff. And then when it's Merciful Fate time, our schedules will still align. That would be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. You've only known King such a very short time, but have you learned or has he taught you anything that you would like that is really good to know? Because he's been in the music business forever. So is there anything, some real good knowledge that he's given you since you've known him? Or really anybody in the band, because everybody's like, Hank's been around forever and,
You don't have to feel obligated to her feelings.
She does. Answer that goddamn question.
I don't know. Like, I guess the thing is, when Merciful Fate came to rose to success and stuff, it was a very different industry to what it is now. So I think, they always say like, oh yeah, like your band should be doing this, but like there's no kind of this is what you should do, because what they did to get from first album to touring the world is like not the same thing that would have to happen now, if you know what I mean. So in general, I guess what they showed me is they've been just very encouraging, and they showed me that like the effort that you put in, when sometimes you think it's not doing anything and it's going nowhere, that you never know what could be around the corner. Like, for example, these videos I was putting out, and I just before literally the weekend of Bloodstock, the weekend that I met Merciful Fate and they offered me the gigs, I was speaking to a friend and he was like, oh, how's everything going with music? How's the bands going? And I was like, I'm really frustrated. I've had enough. Like, I'm sick of the music industry and I don't know what my place is here, because I'm seeing lots of people have loads of success and they're suddenly like taking off, but I can't seem to make it happen for me. And like, why is nothing that I'm doing working? I'm like working so hard. And they were like, it's okay. You can just keep going and something will happen. And literally the next day, I'm face to face with King Diamond and he's saying, we need a bass player. not in that accent, but, but yeah, like, like when you're feeling like nothing is working, you don't know if something's suddenly about to slip into place and it will be the big thing that you do.
Yeah. Can you do an impersonation of King Diamond?
No. What does he say? Oh, I can't think of what he could say.
I can, but my neighbors will call the cops on me if I do.
I'm surprised they haven't yet.
No. Go ahead. They're going to call on you any minute anyway.
Close.
All right. Anybody else got anything before we let Becky go to bed?
Just, I think we all just really wish you well in the new role as the official bassist for Merciful Fate. And best wishes to you with that and Fury and everything you're doing. We're glad that you didn't go through with just saying screw it, I'm done. Thank God you waited one more day. So it was an honor having you on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great to chat to you all, and thank you for making it so much earlier so that I could make it and get to bed at a reasonable time.
Of course.
And let my neighbors rest.
Can you give any inspiration or tell anybody that's like starting out with a band, can you tell them like maybe things that they should do or maybe they can do to maybe get people to kind of like
I think that I don't know, like at the moment, like you have to harness the power of the internet. Like you have to be present, you have to be present on all these different avenues, and make it easy for people to discover you, but also find ways to cut out the middleman of like Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And if you can filter them over to, I don't know, like a newsletter, and get out and actually play shows and pick up fans in real life, collaborate with other bands, gig swap and stuff like this, that's going to be the way to really cut through and reach fans where they're not drowned by content, like Facebook feeds, Instagram feeds. There's so many bands, there's so many people like paying loads of money for sponsored ads so that they cut through the noise. That's just going to spend loads of your money, to be honest, doing that. You need to find something that's like original and different, to make it organically reach new people. And that's hard to find, like, of course, but right. If not, just get out there and gig. You'll find a community, and that will hopefully get you through at least like the first few difficult years of being in a band.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool, very cool. And before we leave, let these people know, what is going on at Merciful Fate? Are you recording some music, or what's going on?
Yes, we are. So we are, there's a bunch of demos. Hank has been like sending me loads of stuff. So I've already recorded like demo bass for two new songs. And okay. Now it's with King and with Mike to record solos, and for King to record his vocals. So there could be a possibility of a single this year from Merciful Fate. Probably not an album until maybe late next year, because there's a lot of King Diamond stuff going on. But yeah, like, there is music in the works, and it sounds very exciting already. So yeah, stuff's happening. I've already started recording things, and it may not be the final bass, because they actually they prefer to record bass last. Like, you can, I have it there as like kind of a demo idea, just for kind of the frequencies are there, so it doesn't sound weird. But I will do a final pass through the bass once the vocals are all finished, and then we'll have a song.
Very cool. At least one song.
Yeah, right. One song closer to an album.
Yeah, that's good. I'm excited. Yeah, oh, Wayne, I should tell her about that idea I had like two Halloweens back from that dream, since she's currently in the band.
Go ahead.
This is real silly, Becky, but when we started doing this this podcast a couple of years ago, it was around Halloween. I'd been listening to Melissa. We had just talked to Kim Ruz, and I had this dream about Merciful Fate doing a music video for Curse of the Pharaohs, but you guys would be getting chased around by a mummy, like some Abbott and Costello stuff. Think it'd make a nice bonus.
Sounds very Scooby-Doo, but okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you could do it awesome. Like, they could get to the sarcophagus at the end, and it could be a wicked new bass inside for Becky.
With the new music, do you feel that it's kind of like maybe the earlier stuff, or is it kind of continuing where Nine left off?
I mean, my impression was it felt more like the older stuff. Like, it felt very old school in the way it was kind of put together. But I think when it's got its final kind of arrangement with all the vocals and everything, then it maybe will sound more like the kind of 90s era. But yeah, I'm not sure. To me, it sounds very old school, but I'm just hearing
riffs and demos of it,
you know. Yeah.
All right, so
it's going to be more song oriented, or does King have a concept idea for this album?
Question.
I don't think there's an overarching theme, but like, I don't know all of the lyrics yet for the Jackal of Salzburg that was being played during the set, so that's on the album. I don't know if that's like part of a general theme. I don't think there's like a story or anything, but you know, there could be a theme. I'm not quite sure. I have to see what appears when the lyrics appear.
You play bass for King Diamond and Merciful Fate?
Just Merciful Fate.
Just Merciful Fate? Yeah, I've been waiting a long time. Everybody has, so I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun. Now, when you guys were playing the Jackal live, King always said that that's kind of like, it's kind of done, but it's not done. Is it the one that's going to be recorded soon, is that kind of different from what we've been hearing live, or is it pretty much similar?
Is the
album recording going to be kind of be different from the live version? Is it going to be any difference, or how do you feel?
I don't think it's much different. Like, structurally, it's pretty much the same. When I was listening through their demo version, there wasn't many changes. It's more, I guess, in the atmosphere, because we Merciful Fate don't play with any backing tracks or any extra stuff. It's just the five instruments that you see on stage. Whereas for the recording, you can do loads of overdubs. I think he wants to like record like choirs, like you could have there's like synth sounds, and stuff like that. So yeah, there's maybe like some slightly extended like intro and outro type thing, but the bulk of the song is the same at the moment. Yeah, just I think it's just more like added production-y kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, very cool. Awesome. Again, Becky, thank you very much for coming on the show. Can't wait to hear your recordings with the band, and good luck with Fury as well. Everything's sounding great, man, and I hope that these assholes don't keep saying shit about you on all the social medias and everything, because you're awesome, and we're great to have you.
We got you back.
Yep.
Just let you all off your back. Don't worry about those assholes. Just, you know, ignore it.
Just send them to us, Becky. We'll take care of them.
Okay, I will do. Thank you.
Follow her socials.
Give everybody your social media stuff and tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes, if you go to BeckyBoldenBass.com, you'll find my website, and I have like a merch store on there, and you'll also find links to Fury stuff. Again, you know, everything is being sent from here, so like it may take a little while if you're in the States for me to post it over, but it will get to you. And on Facebook and Instagram, my handle thing is Becky Bolden Bass. Watch out for all the fake accounts. There's so many fake accounts at the moment. Like Meta are like absolutely, I don't even know what they do, but like they're not like deleting all these fake accounts. So just watch out and make sure that it's a real one that you're following and interacting with. And also I have a Patreon account. So I'm really kind of vamping that up at the moment, because I've got a bit more time at home to kind of work on content. So if you want to see the tour diary that I've been working on from the Merciful Fate tour that I did in 2022, you can sign up from just from £3 per month. That's like buying me a pint at a very cheap pub in the UK. So that's my little sales pitch on my Patreon, because I'm trying to like sort that out at the moment. Everything can be found on my website, BeckyBoldenBass.com.
One question, if anybody wants to buy like merch, like t-shirts or whatever, if they're from the United States, should they order one size up to, I guess, deal with the differences of sizes with us and UK?
I don't know. Is that generally the thing?
Yeah. Yes, so an extra large for UK would be a double XL for the United States.
Oh, okay. Probably, yes. Yeah, all the merch that we print over here is printed UK sizes. So if you need to go up or whatever, then yeah.
Don't say we didn't warn you, people, okay? Like, buy our merchandise, but get the right size. Yeah,
or just lose some weight. I mean, come on.
Or that, too. Ozempic. Anyway.
Yeah. And one last thing, Becky. Ralph Vieira could not join us. Could you do me a favor and tell Ralph Vieira to go fuck himself?
Yeah.
What's the name? Sorry, Ralph Vieira.
Ralph Vieira.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Thank you very much.
Golf clap.
Thank you very much, Becky. Again, everybody, please, RatsoReview.com. Please hit subscribe on YouTube, and we will see you guys next week. All right.
And if you don't like night, Becky, everybody.
Bye, Becky. Yeah. Nice to meet you, all Becky. Right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks, Becky.